Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Ezekiel 18. What, you ask? Doesn't the child pay for the parent's sin? No. For if the child does what is just and right and keeps my decrees, that child will surely live. The person who sins is the one who will die. The child will not be punished for the parent's sins, and the parent will not be punished for the child's sins. Righteous people will be rewarded for their own righteous behavior, and wicked people will be punished for their own wickedness. But if wicked people turn away from all their sins and begin to obey my decrees and do what is right and just, they will surely live and not die. And all their past sins will be forgotten, and they will live because of the righteous things they have done. Do you think that I like to see wicked people die? Says the sovereign Lord. Of course not. I want them to turn from their wicked ways and live. Put all your rebellion behind you. And find yourselves, verse 31, a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O people of Israel? I don't want you to die, says the sovereign Lord. Turn back and live. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you speak to us this morning. Lord, that you will touch every life, every heart, every mind. Lord, I declare your blessing. I declare breakthrough. I declare open doors over this church, over these families, over those watching online. I declare, Lord, an intervening power of your spirit at work in our lives. It's not by might. It's not by power. It is by the spirit of the living God in Jesus' name. I command this wind. Come on, extend your hand that way. I command this wind to cease in Jesus' name. Every effect of it to be changed and turn around in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, say to me, amen. When the challenge comes your way, don't just accept it. Rise up. Hallelujah. Rise up. Rebuke it. Hallelujah. It's always gets windy, Pat. Yeah, rebuke it. Ain't nobody got time for that. Praise the Lord. I was driving here and it was 1 or 4 below in my house in Eagle River. And then, you know, when I started getting here, it got warmer. I'm like, praise the Lord. And it was like, and my bed cover in my truck almost flew away, came undone. And I'm like, devil, you're not going to take my bed cover in Jesus' name. And he did it. Hallelujah. You got to rise up against those things that come against you, not just accept it. That's the will of God for your life. Hallelujah. Amen. And so in this chapter that we read, the essence of it is that there's multiple scenarios that emphasize personal accountability. That emphasize that we are the drivers in our own lives. I like to say, you know, and I've said it many times, that, you know, I'm going to print out wheels, steering wheels, and I'm going to hand it out to people on their way out, because Jesus don't take no wheel. You can sing that song as much as you want. He ain't going to take no wheel. He doesn't do that. He doesn't drive. Because if Jesus was driving your life, then it's God's fault for the issues you got going. It's God's fault for lack or for whatever it is that is not God's plan for your life. It would be his fault, but it isn't. Hallelujah, it's not. We live in a fallen world and we're, you know, subjected to death, sin. Why did death come in? How did it come in? Through sin. And so because we live in this world, Jesus said, you would live in this world, but you are not of this world. Amen. In this world, you will have troubles. Yes. But be of good cheer. Don't be sad. Don't sing to Jude. Be happy. Rejoice. Because I have overcome. And so you actually have to understand that Jesus says, if he overcame, that means you're going to overcome. Hallelujah. We're going to overcome. But if you let go of the wheel, you're going to crash. You got to stay in it. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, stay in it. Look at your other neighbor and says, give me $20. Hallelujah. So there's multiple scenarios emphasizing personal accountability. If God is good and all powerful, people will ask, often, you know, agnostics, atheists, know-it-alls, if God's so good, why is there evil in the world? Why is there evil and suffering? Why is that? It's because God designed the world and gave you a free will. He gave Adam a free will. And what did he do? He chose himself rather than God. Hallelujah. And so you're not a robot. Good news. Praise the Lord. I can't wait till the robots come out. I've been considering either buying a self-driving vehicle or buying a robot that will drive my vehicle for me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? No? You guys, this guy's in the valley. You guys are like, you know, robots. Listen, if you see a robot coming in with me, don't shoot it, okay? It's just carrying my stuff for me. Don't hate, appreciate. God's design is that you have a free will. You can't love without a free will. Love requires choice. Hallelujah. And it's your choice to love or not to. In the Garden of Eden, there's two trees, the tree of life that was meant to sustain them and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because God gave them a choice. Hallelujah. And I often say that, why is it that God's instructions are life? It's because it's the manual. The Bible is the manual for life. I don't agree with it. You don't know any better. When according to my calculations, you don't even know the composition of the rubber tires you drove in here today, or somebody gave you a ride, or the shoes you walked in on. How are you going to try to compare yourself to God? Hallelujah. We can't. And so he gave us a choice. You are created in his image and likeness. You did not evolve from some primordial soup, no matter how, you know, intellectually you want to use those words. But you are created in his image and likeness, and he loves you. And the earth, he was created to sustain us. Hallelujah. We've been hearing what? Climate change. How many of you know it's a bunch of nonsense? It's a lie. One volcanic eruption puts out more carbon than all of humanity has done in the history of humanity. Get real. Before all of this, what did it begin with? Well, Dr. Morocco shared it. You know, I discovered when he was coming up, they used to say that the planets are aligning. And when the planets align, the gravitational pull is going to pull them together. And we're all going to die. That's the devil. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And then after that was what? Ice Age. We're all going to freeze. Oh, no, or was it? Yeah. Ice Age. No, run out of water. How many of you guys remember that? It was a run out of water. The world's not going to have enough water. You better buy water, buy land with water, because we're not going to have enough water. Bunch of lies. The Amazon is the lung of the world. No, it isn't. Have you ever looked at a globe? It's like this small. Like, is your lung this small? No. It's like this big. It's huge. Hallelujah. And then after that was global warming. We're going to heat up and everybody's going to boil and the ice caps are going to melt. All lies. Listen, everything that, you know, and then after that was climate change, because it didn't warm, didn't cool, but it's going to change. It's not going to change because God has established it. He created the earth to sustain you. And the Bible says that if my people who are called by my name will repent, hallelujah, and will turn from their wicked ways, I will come and heal their land. I love what Pastor Tim said. And he read Malachi, that your land is going to flourish. When you turn to God, God blesses you. He blesses your family. He blesses your land. Where it may have not produced for anybody else, for you it's going to produce. Because you are a child of God. And rivers of living water flows from the inside of us. And that overflow in the spiritual realm. By the way, quantum physics is, you know, multiple worlds, all that. Spiritual realm. Hello. The Bible's been way ahead of Marvel and quantum physics. Hallelujah. And so God created us and He'll take care of us. And selfishness is the essence of sin. When you make yourself God and you tend to become upset if you don't get your way. Hallelujah. Anybody here not do that? Dr. Morocco usually says, you know, you go through a drive-thru, like, it's taking 5 minutes. Why is it taking so long? Really? We order ahead our coffee, so when we get there, it's ready. Because ain't nobody got time. Like, we're forgetting even how to ask for what we want because we're just used to typing it. Come on, Minister Ulu, that's for her. Hallelujah. But we must choose life. Come on, tell me, I'm going to choose life. Looking at our text, Ezekiel, you know, they were taken captive. Israel had been taken captive to Babylon. It began with the exile of the leaders, the priests, the nobles. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego were taken to Babylon, right? And then, you know, 7, 8 years later, there was another group of people that were taken. And then finally, the temple was destroyed. Jerusalem, the walls were destroyed. And then all the worthwhile people were taken. They only left the poor people that didn't know how to do anything. And so it happened, and they used to say, and Ezekiel prophesied during that time, you know, and the people were saying, the parents have eaten sour grapes, but their children's mouths pucker at this taste. So the whole nation had been taken into exile. They have lost everything. And they were implying that God was unjust and they had been exiled because of the previous generation. The boomers did it. It's their fault. They trashed the planet and now we're having, they got into debt. Now we're, all these excuses, it was the parents' fault. It's not me. It was my dad. I'm a result of my environment. I'm a result of what was done to me. And when they said that, they were saying, God, you are unjust. Because you're punishing me for what my parents did. And God was like, nah, 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 nah. Like, not, nah, nah, nah. Like, no, that's not true. Because God is not like that. They had taken no personal responsibility for their own actions. The fact that they themselves have departed from the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, where's my 20? God's response was, that's not true. Yes, our parents' sin will affect us. Your parents' sin is going to have an impact on your life. But ultimately, each soul sins and dies on their own. None of us can attribute our life choices to somebody else. And God explains how each person has a choice in what they do. And I'm here to tell you this morning, hallelujah, soon to be noon, that you have a choice. No matter where you find yourself, you have a choice. And I'm here to tell you that in that choice, if you choose God, if you choose to follow after His ways, He will enter into your life. He will bless you. He will turn around whatever situation. There's nothing that is too far gone for God. He is the God of breakthrough. He is the God of turnaround. He's the God that causes the desert to bloom. Hallelujah. Every mountain will be made low. Every crooked path, He will straighten. Hallelujah. God explains how a righteous person does righteous deeds will live. Even if the unrighteous son of a righteous father, if they sin, judgment will be on him, not his father. And maybe, you know, and as a pastor, you hear all kinds of stuff. Like, oh yeah, my uncle was a pastor. My grandpa was a pastor. What about you? What are you doing? Hallelujah. What decisions have you made in your life? And I'm not here to condemn you. God didn't come to condemn you. Jesus didn't come to condemn. He came to give life. Amen. And He came to restore. But he calls us to take a look at ourselves and actually see where we are. It's popular right now to blame white people for everything. If you're white, I love you. Some of the greatest experiences in my life as an immigrant, hallelujah, were at the hands of white people. Some of the saddest were minorities. Let's be real. Just because you may be a minority doesn't give you the right to be racist. That's reverse racism. Hello? Hallelujah. And that's what, this is what the Lord is addressing with the people of Israel. You're not being taken captive. You haven't lost everything because of what your parents did. Because when a generation turns to God, hallelujah, everything changes for them. And so the righteous grandson of an unrighteous father lives righteously. He will live no shared guilt. There's no shared guilt. The key principle is that the soul that sins will die. There's no regeneration or repercussions for guilt. We're all personally responsible for ourselves. I came here this morning, afternoon, just noon, to hand you the steering wheel of your life back. Come on, just go like this. Receive it right now. Hallelujah. And wherever you find yourself, I'm telling the Lord is going to bless you. He gives you a future and a hope right now. The wicked can turn righteous and live, and the righteous can turn wicked and die. Ezekiel 18 destroys the once saved, always saved. I remember at the fair a couple of years ago, I saw the booth, the gospel booth. I'm like, yes, praise God. I went in there and they're like, told me about Jesus. They told me how to get saved. I'm like, this is awesome. And then they're like, now when you get saved, like when you become like a son, right? You can't unbecome a son, can you? I'm like, well, obviously not. But my dad can kick me out of the house. So that destroys the once saved, always saved. Hallelujah. Because, you know, and we're not saved by our own works. Obviously, we're saved by the work that God has done on the cross. But because we're saved, we ought to be living righteously. One of the things that I love about Pastor Daniel, you know, and we're a righteous church, about Dr. Morocco, about our pastors, we're righteous. You got a righteous group of people that love the Lord. Hallelujah. Pretty perfect, pretty close to perfect. Nobody's perfect. We are. Speak for yourself. No, we're seeking after the Lord. We're being perfected by the Lord day by day as we seek Him, as we pray. Hallelujah. The steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. He will direct your steps. Amen. And one of the things that I love about our pastors is that they're righteous. Remember being with Pastor Daniel and, you know, it was a group of guys and somebody said something and he was like, not a hint of sexual immorality. I was like, yes. That's my pastor. Not a hint. I've never heard any sexual innuendos, never any dirty jokes, never anything stupid. Hallelujah. In our staff, from our pastors, we live holy. We love the Lord. We seek after God. Amen. Hallelujah. And so once you're saved, there's a way you ought to live. And God heals and He transforms and He sets captives free. Hallelujah. And so God is not unjust. And that's what they were saying, because our parents sinned. You know, they ate sour grapes, but we were like, we got lemon face. Like, no, you got lemon face because you chewed on lemons. It wasn't your dad, it wasn't your mom, but I'm here to say, hallelujah, that today, that lemon is going to be pulled out of your mouth and the joy of the Lord is going to come in. Come on, just lift your hands to heaven and say, hey, hallelujah, you got to make a choice. Serve God or serve yourself. There's no in between. Hallelujah, there's righteous and moral or not. There's no fatalism. Your choice overrides the wild oats your predecessors may have sowed. Hallelujah. God is a righteous God. He will do what is right. Maybe you came from a toxic family. Maybe there's some issues in the family. If you will choose righteousness and turn away from those things, God will honor you. You know, one of the things that I've found in these years, as we've mentored people, as we led people, as we, you know, help people become healthy, the people that don't make it are those that never cut off bad relationships from their lives. Let me say that again. If you want to succeed in something, you have to cut away from your life the people that want nothing to do with God. It doesn't mean, you know, you can't be a friend to sinners, because it doesn't mean that you can, you know, you can't share the gospel. It doesn't mean that you ought to, you know, you don't connect with anyone outside of church. No, but you live righteously and you cut away from your life anything that'll pull you down into the sewer. And in most cases, and in many cases, are relationships and connections of the past that pull you back into old patterns. No, I when I was 19, I rededicated my life to the Lord and I started praying for a wife. I didn't care about the lost. I didn't care about global warming. I didn't care about orphans. I didn't care about it. I needed a wife. I was 19. I wanted a wife. Hello? I guess nobody cares. I was like, God, help me. And I would pray and pray and pray and pray. God, you know, brought me my wife. And I used to hang out with my buddies. I had my friends, and we used to go places and do things and, you know, and hang out. The day we went out, first date, I'm like, hey, I don't want no girlfriend. And God showed me she's the one, or, you know, she's it. I said, hey, you want to marry me? First date. She's like, well, I've been fasting for you. I'm like, let's do this. You got to be serious about stuff. Are you serious? You want victory? Are you serious about your victory? Hallelujah. And I said yes to Rosie. I said no to everybody else. My buddies, I lost their number. Wow, that's cold. Yeah, I have a great marriage. Gil, you never hang out with us anymore. I'm like, sorry, buddy. I ain't married to you. I'm married to her. I found a good field. I found treasure. Sold everything, bought the field, and got the treasure. Hallelujah. And so in Romans 12 says, 12:1, and so dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. There's a way we worship God. Hallelujah. It can't be transactional. It's with everything that is in you. Can you believe it? If your husband comes to you or your wife, you know, because we're married, I'll hug you. Because we signed a paper, I'll even kiss you. How would that make you feel? And so many people want the blessings of God, and that's how they treat him. I said the prayer. I don't know why I don't see more victories in my life. You know, I said the prayer. Why don't you brush your teeth? Why don't you comb your hair? Why don't you prepare yourself? Hallelujah. And give yourself wholly to the Lord. And you will see the goodness of God. It's not transactional. There's passion in your love for God. Are you passionate about serving God? Are you passionate about your giving? Or are you still fooled by the world? Why do we gotta give? Why do I gotta tithe? Do it passionately and see how God will bless you. Hallelujah. He says, give your whole bodies. I go, you know, I go to church in the wilderness. It's not church. Well, this is when God speaks to me. Really? You're telling me that you get in this place and you don't hear God? Something's wrong with your salvation. Well, you know, people bother me. You need to get healing, not change everybody else. You guys okay? Come on, lift your hands to heaven. Praise break. Hallelujah. I'm sorry, Pastor Daniel. He'll fix everything when he comes back. He'll be back Wednesday. It's going to be awesome. Then you can pray through the new year. It says, don't copy the behaviors of this world and customs of this world. It's me against everybody. No, it isn't. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. God's desire for you is to bless you beyond your wildest imagination. Well, but I'm so blessed. He wants to take you to the next level. Hallelujah. But I'm overly blessed. He wants to take you even above that to make us so blessed. Hallelujah. And so filled with the wisdom and the presence of God that kings are going to call you. Hey, can you come and give me advice? We're called to do great things. We're called to take over the city. Hallelujah. How many of you ever heard Pastor Daniel say that? Before this building, like, what's your plan? To take over the whole state. A hostile takeover of the whole state. Wow, that's a little extra, isn't it? No! That's the command of the Lord. Hallelujah. And we're, you know, that's what we're doing in Eagle River. It's a hostile takeover. The devil doesn't get a say. Opposition doesn't get a say. Hallelujah. That's what we're going to do in Anchorage. The devil doesn't get a say. The demons don't get. I love Pastor Daniel was saying, no demon in hell can resist you when God is at work in your life. But you got to rise up in him. Renew your thinking with God thinking. Hallelujah. Plug in. Be a part of what God's doing in this place. Hallelujah. Once you surrender your life to God, every curse is broken. And generational curses become propensities that you're supposed to remove from your life. It's an option that you have to remove or not to remove. It's not a curse. Generational curses are broken at the cross. And they don't trail along with you. It's your propensities. If you stole, if you were a thief, stop stealing. Hallelujah. Some people grow up learning that stealing is okay. My parents, if I found something, my mom's like, go bring it back to where you found it and leave it where you found it. She used to get whooped for it. If they found something on the street and they brought it home, they, you know, her brothers like used to get whooped and go back and leave it where you found it. You don't need anything from anyone. You're not a thief. You're not going to steal. Hallelujah. Well, generational curses can't resist the power of God. There's no demon in hell that can resist God. There's no sin that can resist the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And so when you receive the Lord, you're set free. I'm not going to break your pulpit, Pastor. Hallelujah. And you got to apply the blood of Jesus to your bloodlines. And you are cleansed. The blood of Jesus cleanses you of ungodly covenants. And you can move on with your life. Filled with the power and the authority and the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. And accomplish great things. No matter what your parents didn't do. Or whoever didn't show up for you. Or whoever took your land. Or whoever enslaved your past. You know, we're taught in the U.S. now that slavery was invented here. It's a lie from hell. There are more slaves today than ever in the history of the world. Hallelujah. That's a reality. And the devil tells you, oh, see, you're an oppressed. You're oppressed. Listen, who doesn't get mistreated? Most racism is mistreatment. And we all get mistreated. My wife got rammed with a shopping cart with her mom at Fred Meyer's in Eagle River. By people that were making fun of how they were speaking. Because, you know, my wife was speaking Portuguese to my mother-in-law. So, Jesus got his beard pulled. He got spat on. He got, You know, and you can live in the past or live in bad experiences, or you can choose to believe that God has a plan for your life, has a future for you, and live unoffended. And live in the power of the Spirit of God that will enable you to do great things for the Lord and accomplish great things and generate great wealth. Hallelujah. Curses are broken and we are to resist the devil. Well, I'm being tempted. The book of James says that nobody's tempted by God. But when you are tempted by the evil desires that are in your heart. And most people say, "Oh, there's that." No, there's something you can do. How about you begin to hate the sin? How about you begin to see and declare, hallelujah, what it actually is, talking to people again. Like, you know, "Well, Pastor, I'm struggling with this." I'm like, "Well, you know, you got to hate it." "Oh, no, I really love it." You're never going to get rid of it. You're wasting my time. You want to go to hell? Go to hell. I'm not sending you to hell. Your actions are. Hallelujah. And so we have to understand that you got the steering wheel, that you're driving, that God is for you. He's not against you. That he's all the things that he's already. Look at his place. Hallelujah. It's a miracle. I remember praying, extending our hands. And what did we say? Grace, grace, unto the capstone. Capstone's up there. The occupancy is here. Hallelujah. God has fulfilled his plan for up until now. It's time to go forward. It's time to go to the next level. And that next level requires you rising up. It requires you getting the word of the Lord for your own life. It requires you despising the past that destroyed your life, that defined you. You got to despise it. The Bible says that Jesus endured the cross and he despised the shame. You want to have victory? Despise the shame of your past. Despise the brokenness of your bloodline. Despise. You want to be rich? Despise the lack that is so pervasive. Because scarcity thinking will keep you bound. The world is never going to run out of resources. Hallelujah. And it's not a zero-sum game. If one wins, the other loses. That's a lie from hell. Because God has enough for more than enough. God has more than enough. God has more than enough. He paved the streets of heavens with gold. Hallelujah. The stuff we wear is jewelry. It's the asphalt. Like, "Oh, look at me. Look at my stuff." God is like, that's road. You're literally got asphalt on your neck and on your hands. "Look at me, look at me." Come on, look at your neighbor and say, "Look at me, look at me." James 4:7 says, "Humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." You know, when we went to Eagle River, I was like, it's just a matter of time. Not going to work. We'll go back to Wasilla. I mean, remember Lucille? We got a lot of room now. Remember Lucille? How many of you guys were at Lucille? The bathroom lines. Oh, the glory. No, forget. We love Lucille. Forget Lucille days. Ample room now. But hallelujah. But you remember, though, what God was doing? He was thumping and pumping. And I was like, it's going to fail, and I'm going to go back there. And I remember sometimes, you know, I'm like, it felt lonely because all my friends were here. All the great things that God has done happened here. And we moved there and it felt lonely. And it felt like, man, it's like that "I am Jeff." It's like, you know, Maximus Meridius, like Wasilla. And then you go to River, it's like, "I am Jeff." That's what it felt like. But you know what? That's not who I am. I'm not, there's nothing wrong with Jeff. I am Maximus Meridius Decidius. Winius. I win. Come on, tell me I win. I have victory. Hallelujah. Come on, say I have victory. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If I don't hear you say it, I'm going to go stand over you and stare at you. Man, Pastor Danny would climb on the speakers and sweat, like, ah. It's like, yes. But then I'm like, you know what? The Bible says, follow those that through faith and perseverance have inherited the promises. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to sweat and say stuff like that. And guess what? It's created that. If you will rise up in faith, knowing that the same Spirit that is at work here in Wasilla, that has done miracles in this place, that has raised this church up, is the same Spirit working in Anchorage, working in Eagle River. Hallelujah. And you have to renew your thinking to align to the call of God in your life, not make excuses for the past, not, you know, live in the past, but live right now. You win by persistence and endurance. Don't quit. It's been 10 years that we've been in Eagle River. 10 years. We've needed a building for the last 9. We're finally getting one. Hallelujah. And it's no other reason other than what we were ready for. And you have to understand that. You can say, well, you know, or you can say, you know what? I'm not at a 500 level yet. How about I get to that? How about you get to that? Hallelujah. But nobody wants to come to my life group. Yeah, with that face, put a smile on your face, pray, get baptized. I mean, do you guys remember, does Pastor Daniel still tell his courting stories? When he used to date Pastor Karen? No? Oh, good. Well, you just don't remember. But he said he used to get off of his job and he would put on worship in his car that she used to call the ashtray. Just because it was old, it had a great sound system. And he would just enter the presence of God while he was driving. And it's like driving there, it's like, ah, high worship, worshiping God. And then he would get out of the car as quick as he can. It's like, hey! And he'd just be gleaming. And, you know, according to him, she'd be like, oh. How about you get in the presence of God and so filled with the Holy Ghost that when you show up, demons flee. Hallelujah. You can do it. We can do it. It's what God has done in Eagle River. And I've done things that I was not able to do before by the power of the Spirit of God that is at work in us. There's nothing that is impossible to the Lord. There's nothing that is too hard. But you got to rise up. You got to rise up. Well, I'm old. Really? You know, Sarah nursed her own baby at 90. The Bible says she was as good as dead. Abraham, forget about it. They had a baby at 90. Abraham was 99, and she nursed her own baby at the age of 90. Well, I'm too old. No, you're not. Stop talking like that. You're in the most fruitful season of your life right now. Well, you've learned the mistakes to not make. It's time for you to get fired up. It's time for you to get so filled with the Holy Ghost that your joints fall into alignment and you can run. I will run and not faint. I will run and not grow weary. I will walk and not faint. Hallelujah. Why is that? Because God is real. God is real. Hallelujah. And God here is trying to get him to understand that there's nothing, if you will turn to God, he forgets all your sins. And you got to understand that one of the biggest troubles with sin is bondage. That sin will get you into bondage. If you are given to sin, if you allow sin in your life, it'll constrict you like a boa and keep you bound. Hallelujah. But today, in Jesus' name, every power of hell will be broken over your life. There's nothing that can stop you from having a great impact in this city. God called you to be the head and not the tail. Hallelujah. Then bondage leads to apostasy. A mind that is seared unable to return to God today, hallelujah, in Jesus' name, God is going to do a great things in your lives. And he gives us rules and accountabilities. God is not a capricious God where he just whimsically does whatever he wants. No, he's a just God. Hallelujah. Matthew 7:19 says, so every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's law. You see, your actions matter. What you do matter. It's not just your prayer time. It's what you do when you're alone. It's what you do when nobody's around. It's what you do when nobody sees what you do, when nobody's going to know. Hallelujah. The good news is that God will set you free, that he will bless you. And if you will honor him in the secret place, he will honor you in front of everybody. God is a just God. He's a good God. And he's not an acceptor of people. Meaning what? Meaning that he's going to treat every single one of us the same way. And if you will do what is right, God will bless you. Hallelujah. Because it's by his spirit. Well, nobody's perfect. Speak for yourself. Ask my wife. She says, I'm perfect. Right, son? I was joking. He went along with it. But anyway. Yeah, no, we're all growing. But I'm not where I used to be. Hallelujah. There's progress. That's one of the great things that you need to look. Maybe you came in and you're unhappy with where your life is. Let me tell you, has there been progress? Are you growing? If not, get growing. Hallelujah. Get growing. Because there's real hope and God is going to judge us. Actually, Jesus is going to judge us. Hallelujah, because he overcame. But the good news is that God is going to equip you and he gives you a hope. Understand that because of what he has done, you can do great things. And he's called every single one. Worship team, would you come please? Hallelujah. You can resist the enemy. You must resist the enemy and persist against lies. And get the truth in your head. Not everything is spiritual. Not everything is the devil. Most of it is bad ideas fed by bad experiences. And so when you submit, you know, people have a view of themselves. Your view of yourself must align with how God sees you. Hallelujah. And sometimes, you know, you've gone through things that you don't know how to do that, so you need to get around with people that are going to tell you the truth. Well, no, you know, you feel like nobody likes you. That's not true. We love you. John 8:31 says, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. You're created in his image and likeness. Hallelujah. You're not created to fail. You're created to succeed. Well, nothing I've done worked. Why don't you begin to do what somebody else does that works? That's the good news. Hallelujah. I remember talking to people. Many conversations. And they believe lies. Like, I'm not good at this. I'm like, shut up. I'm not good at that. Shut up. That's not true. Knock it off. That's not who you are. I see it in you. Hallelujah. One of the gifts that the Lord gives us as pastors is that we can see you in the future. And if you will listen and obey, that's why the Bible says, obey your pastors. Because we see it. I remember telling my wife, you're going to preach. I'm going to have you preach more often. She's like, I'm not a good speaker. I'm like, listen, I don't want excuses. But I didn't say that. I said, no, sweetheart, you're going to do great. You're going to do awesome. You're the best. But I don't like, but in my head, that's how I talk to myself. And even then, I have to listen to her. She's like, you're very brash. You're very harsh. Pastor Daniel told me that a lot too. You need to be nicer. You look angry. Like, you're not. I blame my eyebrows. I take accountability, Lord. It's me. And I'm like, no, you're going to preach. Because God gave you a gift. Some of you, God's given you a gift. But you've convinced yourself in your head, in your spirit. It's like, oh, you see yourself in your spirit, man. Like, oh, doing great things. And then, oh. But then when you get in your head, you're like, oh, I can't do that. What do you mean you can't do that? How about you turn those failures off? Who hasn't failed? You know, we have a business now, praise the Lord. We also have six that failed before. You learn from every single one. You learn from every single one. And you move forward. And you let God's word speak louder in your heart and in your mind. We are a spirit being with a body. And you have to train your mind. Hallelujah. To not love sin, hate sin. Not a hint of sexual immorality in your life. That's in your mind. No double takes. Stare too long, hook real strong. That's what we used to say. Help one another. I remember Brother John Duke, Evangelist John Duke, did KSM together. And we were battle buddies. Pray for me, bro. Pray for me, bro. Pray for me. What's wrong with you? What's wrong? You know, like encouraging one another. Hebrews 3:7 says, this is the Holy Spirit says, today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did. There's some of you, there's a lot of reasons why this is not doesn't work for you. Knock it off. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled. When they tested me in the wilderness. Verse 12, be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. Hallelujah. The Lord wants to reward you. The Lord wants to bless you. The Lord wants to give you hope. He wants to bless your family, bless your children, give you riches on earth, and lift you up beyond your wildest imagination. Let this building be an inspiration of what God can do. Hallelujah. Our offices were in closets in that building. And it was awesome. And the annex building. And it was awesome. But this is an inspiration. This is what God is going to do in every area of your life. He's going to expand you. We need what these kinds of buildings all over the state. Hallelujah. But in order to do that, we got to rise up. You have to rise up. Listen, today the Lord's speaking to you. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you. There are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. I remember Pastor Daniel saying, the best is yet to come. And I'm like, I don't know about that. I mean, it sucks pretty badly. Been there, came out of that. Let me tell you, the best always came. And it kept coming. And it kept coming. The problem is, if you keep looking backwards, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss because of what he has done. Present your bodies to him because of what he has done. If he has blessed you, it's not time for you to take a break. It's time for you to surrender more. And go to the next level. Hallelujah. Now remember, and let me tell you, the best has kept coming. And it's not going to stop. And it's not going to stop for you either. You're going to experience 2026 is going to be the greatest year that you've ever had. Hallelujah, 2025 was our greatest year. And if it wasn't for you, stop taking your own advice. Listen to me. Listen to these people. Hallelujah. That'll help you. That'll smack you proverbially and say, no, that's not the truth. Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good of those who love God. Not like God. Not said the prayer. Who love God. Hallelujah. With everything that is in them. And to those who are called according to his purpose. That's every single one of you. For every single one of you watching online. Proverbs 22 verse 4 says, the reward of humility in the Amplified Version, that is having a realistic view of one's importance and the reverent, worshipful fear of the Lord, is riches, honor, and life. The reward of humility is riches, honor, and life. The reward of humility, in other words, having a realistic view of one's importance and the reverent, worshipful fear of the Lord, is riches, honor, and life. When you don't make excuses for anything and you're like, this is who I am. Those that come to God must believe that he is and that he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So when you present yourself to God, this is who I am. You know what he does? He rewards you and he honors you. And he says, great, I'm glad you know that. Come with me. It's time to grow. Hallelujah. Forgetting the things that have stayed behind, I press on to the upward calling of Christ. And God has a great call for your life. Hallelujah. He wants to do great things in your life, and he's going to do it. And 2026 is going to be the greatest year of your life. It's going to be the greatest year of this church. It's going to be the greatest year of Kings, cathedrals, and chapels. We're going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living in everything that we do, because his desire is to raise you up, to bless you, to give you a future and a hope. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give a shout to the Lord. I want you to be encouraged this day, today, that God is going to do great things for you. It doesn't matter what the past has been. It doesn't matter what the experience has been. It's what he's doing now. Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand. And we're going to take an offering here in a minute. But before we do that, I want to pray for you. Hallelujah. If you say, man, I'm in a place right now where I want to, you pray that I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see you. I'm going to see a victory. You're going to see a victory in your life. And I want to pray for you if you feel like, okay, what is the next step? I'm going to pray for a sober mind for every single one of us. He's not giving you a spirit of fear. You ever wonder why the Bible says, fear the Lord, but don't fear other stuff? Why? What does fear mean? What does fear mean? Fear means extreme reverence. What you revere, you will submit to. You don't revere the lies of the enemy. You don't revere past experiences. But if you revere God, he's not giving you a spirit of revering things of this world, but he's giving you the spirit of power, which means you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Love. You can forgive. You can move on. And a sound mind. You have to have a sound mind. You have to have a sober mind. Not a spirit of fear where you're listening to the enemy. And he's going to do that for you. So maybe you're here and you don't know how that's going to happen. Don't worry about it. Just trust the Lord. Come on, if that's you. See, you have a situation that you need breakthrough. You need God to intervene on your own behalf. And you don't know how it's going to happen. I just want you to raise your hand with me right now. Hallelujah. Come on. And I'm declaring a change right now. Today, not tomorrow, today. You will see breakthrough today. Hallelujah. And some of that, I can just give you the answer right now. Just repent to your husband, repent to your wife. It's your fault anyway. One and done. But come on, just lift your hands to heaven. Come on, if you have the freedom to pray in the Holy Ghost, begin to pray in the Holy Ghost right now. Father, I thank you that you are a live God. You are a good God. You are a prayer answering God. And right now I come against every opposition, every lie of hell, every stronghold in the mind and the view of people that keeps them from entering into the fullness that you have for them. I break that now in Jesus' name. Let your truth come in. The sword of the Spirit, the truth of your word that destroys every argument. I expose now every argument of hell against you, and you will see it, and you will rebuke it, and you will rebuff it with the truth of the Lord. And I bless you. I release the blessing of God over your life. Let the anointing of God break the yokes right now. I declare blessing. I declare turnaround over your finances, over your business, over loved ones, hallelujah, that are lost. I break the hold of the enemy in their lives right now. And I declare the blessing of God over you, over your family right now in Jesus' name. Come on, begin to praise him. Begin to worship him right now with your mouth. Say, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you heard me. Thank you that you're intervening on my behalf. Thank you that you're doing a mighty work in and through me. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your voices. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're giving us breakthrough in every area, that this church, you're giving us the 12-120. Hallelujah. It shall be fulfilled for the glory of your name. We thank you, Lord. And we bless you today in Jesus' name. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, the Bible says you must be born again. That the wages of sin is death, but God's gift is everlasting life through Christ Jesus. The Bible says that God proved his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died on the cross and he rose again. And because he lives, you will also live. So if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and confess with your mouth that he rose again from the dead, in other words, you're living it, you will be saved. And what I invite you today, if you've never surrendered your life to God, it begins there. Hallelujah. Breakthrough begins there. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand with me right now. If you say, I want to surrender my life to God, or I want to recommit my life to the Lord, anyone, hallelujah, praise the Lord, maybe watching online, come on, let's pray together. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die in my place. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me, cleanse me, make me brand new. Be the Lord of my life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for being my Savior. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I seal that now. And I bless you in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. If you prayed that prayer, maybe watching online, we have a number you can text SAVED to 907-357-5065. Hallelujah. 357-2065. Text SAVED to that and let us know that you surrender your life to God. We'd love to follow up and talk with you. Amen.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.